So I know a guy who knows soccer better than just about anybody. His name is Matt Negrin. He's a writer. He is a producer. He is currently a digital producer on The Daily Show. You may have read his pieces in The New Yorker and elsewhere. He joins us again on WGN Radio. Hi, Matt. It's John. How are you?
John, it's like hearing the voice of an old friend calling in a time of need.
I call you every 4 years when I'm in need.
It's our quadrennial radio hit.
I need to ask you about that, though. So in promoting this, I said to my friend Steve Bertrand, I said, Steve, we're going to have a friend of mine who I'm not sure is really a friend because I've never met him in person, and I only talk to him when soccer is interesting to Americans, which is not that often. But whenever I do, I so enjoy his company and conversation. I said, so I don't know if that makes you a regular guest or a friend. Can we call each other friends?
I'm happy to call you a colleague slash sometimes friend. I think that's not pushing the boundaries too much.
And I think we would be fast friends were we able to share a cup of tea or a beer or something someday.
Yeah, or some vodka in Russia, whatever happens.
Where are you? But you're in New York right now, right?
Yes, that's right.
Do you get to Chicago very often?
You know, this hurts to say this in public, but I was there last year and I didn't tell you. Yeah. And we could have had some Mumalnadis together.
This is what John does. He said you were quasi friends and you should have left it there, but you continued to ask questions and now you realize he's really not your friend at all.
Yeah.
Remember the time I was interviewing Dennis Miller?
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I was too. Dennis Miller and I got along great, and we're having.
I bet you would,
And we're just having a swell time, and it was before he was the political commentator that he became, I think. But whatever it was, you could tell he and I were like connecting. And I said, Dennis, I said, what do you say? He goes, no.
Hey, next time you're in town,
next time you're in town, and he said no. Here's a guy who next time he was in town didn't even let me know.
I figured you were busy. You know, you got a radio show.
Actually, we met up and talked about you.
So has this been a good World Cup? I mean, when we look back at 2018 in Russia, what are they going to say about the tournament this time?
As far as the games go, it's the best World Cup of my lifetime. I'm 31. These are the best games I can remember. All the big players were kicked out way early on. The upsets were awesome. That's what we always root for, the underdog, right? We always root for the Cinderella stories. You had Iceland tying Argentina. I know that ties aren't very exciting in American sports, but tying Argentina, one of the best teams in the world, is insane, considering that Iceland's population is like 300,000. It's like the size of a medium, middle American city, and they were able to tie one of the best teams in the world. Germany was beat by Mexico. They didn't even make it to the playoff round. I mean, the games have been so exciting that even though the U.S. isn't in it, and that's one reason that I think a lot of people have not been watching, it's still been just great soccer. And soccer's a great sport. And I love talking to you about it every 4 years, and I think other people like watching it every 4 years, too. Even if you don't know anything about it, it's still fun.
I wonder if this may sound counterintuitive, but the fact that the U.S. didn't make it made it a little more interesting because now my son has France in his pool. We're forced to learn about, you know, we would only be watching the American games, but now people got wrapped up in the Croatia game, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I had France in my pool, too. And I don't think anyone thought Croatia would make it this far. And in case people are wondering what the difference between these countries are, France is ranked 7th. Their team is ranked 7th in FIFA, and Croatia is ranked 20th. That's a very big difference. It might even be bigger than it actually seems. France is a very good team, and their country has 67 million people. Croatia only has 4 million people. That makes a huge difference when you're talking about the talent pool of people who can play for these teams. Normally, small countries don't do well because they don't have a lot of people who are playing soccer growing up, compared with, you know, places like Brazil and Spain that have tons of people obsessed with soccer, and then the best ones do really well and go to good teams, and then they come back and play for the country in the World Cup. So the idea that Croatia is in the final and is playing France is it should be exciting for kind of any casual sports viewer. The idea that you could have the biggest upset in soccer history if they manage to win. There have been 20 World Cups, and only 8 countries have ever won. And it's kind of like who you imagine it would be, you know, Brazil and Germany and France won once, England won once. These are kind of like Argentina, they've won before. Like, these are kind of the teams you expect to win. Croatia's never even been in the final, and they might never be in it again. So
is there a country that is the New York Yankees of international soccer? Is that Brazil?
It might be. It's interesting because when you say Yankees, it's like money has a lot to do with it. And certainly Brazil puts out a ton of good players into the international market. The most popular or most famous player is Neymar. He's a young guy who's very, very skilled, obviously. He came from the favela. He came from like kind of the slums of Brazil. And was so good that he was, I mean, one of the reasons that people love him is because he wasn't, you know, he wasn't born rich. He was born just very talented. He went on to play for a good team in Spain, and then came back to Brazil to play for the World Cup. And yeah, I mean, all of the players on Brazil are really, really strong. They've won, I don't know exactly how many, it might be like 5 or 6 times or something like that. And I think in 1998, the World Cup was in France, and that was the only time France ever won, and they ended up beating Brazil in the final. And it was a very good game, and France was like a huge underdog during that World Cup. And in the semifinal, to get to the final, France ended up beating Croatia. So that's kind of cool. So this is kind of like a rematch from 1998, 20 years later.
Well, yeah. The last World Cup was in Brazil, and there was concern about, would they be able to pull it off? There were transportation, there were disease issues, there were weather issues, there were stadium and construction issues, et cetera, et cetera.
Crime. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, people were actually worried about even going. How has Russia done? Have they hosted good games, would you say?
It looks like it, yeah. It looks like all of the big issues kind of surrounding Russia hosting the World Cup like haven't really amounted to much, which is good. It's good for soccer. Obviously, Russia is like a hugely complicated place and issue right now. And there were a ton of issues during the Sochi Olympics, and even one of the stadiums for the World Cup is actually in Sochi. But from all accounts, it seems that things have gone fine. That's not to say that, I mean, FIFA is the most corrupt organization in the world, and Russia is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. You put those two things together, like, I'm sure there's a ton of stuff going on that we'll never even find out.
How is Russia not in the championship right now? I thought Vladimir Putin would be playing for Russia in the championship, having won, 10-0 all of their games.
Yeah, they won their first game 5-0, and they were one of the worst. They're one of the worst teams in the world. So the host countries automatically qualify for the World Cup. So if you host it, you get in. And if you're not a good country, that's great for you because you might not qualify otherwise. And certainly Russia would probably not have qualified for this World Cup if they hadn't hosted it. But they did very well. And many people, including me, think it was pretty sketchy that they scored so many goals in their first game. And then in the first round, so after you play your first 3 games, you go into the knockout round, like the NCAA bracket, and it's win or go home. Their first game in the bracket is against Spain, one of the best teams in the world. A lot of people pick them to win the World Cup overall. They're wildly good. If you've watched them play, like, they pass like no other team. They're just very talented. And Russia ends up drawing with them, taking them into penalty kicks, which is what you do when there's a tie at the end of the knockout round, and they win. And that doesn't make any sense. There's plenty of reasons to suspect that there's very, I guess you could say, like, unsavory things going on. But I have no proof of it, and I would never.
You would never insinuate
publish anything that says it. Right. I would never say, of course not, of course not. Yeah. But
by the way, somebody texted to us. Somebody texted a minute ago, and they said, "Hey, John, is it true that Russia killed thousands of street dogs to clean up their image before the cup?" I didn't hear anything about that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I have no idea.
All right, so do me this favor. All right, how about this?
Yeah.
So I want to be a knowledgeable viewer Sunday.
Yes. Yes. You're going to go to a watch party, right? You're going to be with all your friends, and you want to sound smart about
who should I look for? What will be key? To give me some tips.
Okay. So I would say there are 2 players you can watch.
All right, hold on.
Each team.
Okay. Wait. I got to get a number 2 pencil.
Okay.
I'm going to write this down. Stay put. Matt Negrin is a. What are you, Matt? I said that you are a digital producer for, you are described as, it says here, a writer, a producer, and a digital producer at The Daily Show. Do you regularly?
But before that, I did a lot of soccer stuff, and that's how we kind of got introduced. And I was kind of traveling around the world, living with really crazy soccer fans and writing about so what soccer still, meant to them.
By the way, I got to mention this. We just gave away White Sox tickets. Congratulations to Scott in Lake Zurich. Scott in Lake Zurich heard, along with a lot of you, "Don't Stop Believing." That's your cue to call. And Scott's got himself some tickets to the White Sox. So do you still, though, regularly write for whomever or talk about soccer?
I talk about it a lot. I don't really. I kind of moved on to politics after I got back, and I was covering the election for Bloomberg, and so I kind of shifted gears. But like you said, it's kind of like every 4 years, it's hard to ignore the call of the World Cup. It's just so exciting; you can't ignore it.
So give me somebody or something to make me a knowledgeable. You said there's going to be a couple players we should pay attention to.
Absolutely. And the first thing you should know is if you are going to watch the World Cup final, you will be one of possibly. Well, let me ask you, how many people do you think watched the final in 2014, the final game around the
world? In 2014, I would say 75,000.
One? Yeah, right. It was across the world, 1 billion people. And that is one of the biggest events of all time.
Wow.
And over the total World Cup, it was over 3 billion people watched it. So there's going to be a lot of people watching, not just in the U.S., U.S. team didn't make it, so it won't be as many people, but around the world, it's a huge event. So if you watch, you'll be part of something much bigger than yourself.
Got it.
I would say, if you want to sound smart, or if you even just want to look for something cool during the game, the star players on each team are really fun. And we start with France. So France's most interesting player, I think, is this 19-year-old kid. His name is Mbappe, M-B-A-P-P-E. And he's literally a teenager, and he's got kind of this style of playing that's very fun to watch. He's a striker, so he'll hang out kind of at the front of the team's formation. So he'll be as close to the other team's, as close to Croatia's goal as possible. And sometimes when he gets the ball, he'll just kind of burst into this inhuman amount of speed, like the flash, and he'll just shoot across the field and drive it in and take a shot. And not a lot of players can do that, because even if you're fast, it's hard to run while you're dribbling the ball, which is very, and someone's chasing you. So normally when you're dribbling, it slows you down, but this guy is super, super fast,
right,
and he's
so
very fun.
France, 19-year-old Mbappe. Give me another name I need.
That's right. On Croatia, you're going to want to look for a guy named Modric. He's their star player, M-O-D-R-I-C. He's older. He's 32. He plays for Real Madrid. But he's got these great crosses that I like. You know, he takes good corner kicks. He takes really good free kicks for the team. It's kind of when, you know, there's very few rules in soccer. But when you get fouled, you get to take a free kick. And usually Modric is the one taking the free kicks for Croatia. And he's just very good. So I would look out for him. He's got long hair. He kind of wears a tiny little bandana. So, you know, you can point out to your friends like, "Oh, that's Modric. He's Croatia's star player." So look out for him. He's very fun to watch.
Who is going to win?
Yeah. You know, I would say, you said you're going on a cruise next year on the sign in France. Yeah, I would say there's a 95% chance you will be in the country with the world soccer champions next year. But I'm rooting for Croatia. I think it's always great to root for a team that's never been in the World Cup final before. So, and their fans are great. The Croatian fans, I spent a lot of time in Croatia before the World Cup in 2014, and they're amazing. I mean, they're pretty violent, but they have great chants. They, you know, I would talk to a couple guys, and what they would do is they would steal boat flares from boats before the game, and they would smuggle them into the stadium. This is like their local Croatia club, their Croatia team, and they would shove them down their pants to get them in because they all get frisked, and then they would take them out in the stadium, and they would just light them up, and the whole place would be covered in smoke. Sometimes they have to wait 90 minutes to play because they have to clear the smoke from the they have to wait for the smoke to clear. So they go nuts, and you might see shots of like the viewing party in Zagreb,
right,
Croatia,
right.
And you're gonna see a ton of smoke, a ton of flare, a lot of pink flares, pink smoke. So if you see that, that's what that is. It's not a fire, although they do like fire separately, but the flares are kind of the go-to in Croatia.
All right, Matt, I'm going to call you on another day, on another time, either to talk soccer, or maybe we'll follow you from The Daily Show and talk politics at another time.
Sounds great. Good to talk to you. I hope you have a good game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to root for Croatia, but France is probably going to win. I got it.
That's the smart money.
Attaboy, Matt. Nice to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks. You too.
That's my friend, Matt Negrin, writer, producer, currently a digital producer at The Daily Show.